Welcome to the Dacus Report, hosted by Pacific Justice Institute founder and president Brad Dacus. For 25 years, PJI has counseled, represented, and defended people whose religious freedoms, parental rights, or sanctity of life have been obstructed or violated, all free of charge. We leave no one behind and level the playing field for Americans as they are subjected to the tyranny of the powerful. Now, here's Brad Dacus.
Welcome to the Dacus Report. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute.
We're going to talk about a number of things. We have with us here Kyle Campbell, who actually has her own podcast called Politically Basics.
As always, I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Yes.
I heard that you spoke at something that's akin to a Christian Woodstock, and I want to know more. What is that?
Yeah, it's annual, and it happens. It's called Bridge Fest, and it's out in New Jersey. Hmm. On the coast, right there on the beach, and it's incredible. They have a humongous auditorium. It seats about 10,000 people. Billy Graham, other people have spoken there, and they've got all kinds of stuff, speakers, booths, musicians. And it was so exciting because it not only was able to address a large portion of them with a solid sermon and the gospel message, and we had at least half a dozen hands raised to receive Jesus mm-hmm. as Lord and Savior.
Always so good.
One man came up to me afterwards, and he just, almost crying, he just says, thank you for sharing the gospel. I just gave my life to Jesus,
wow.
and I want to follow Jesus. Mm. But also, they gave me the privilege to address the entire audience mm-hmm. In the big amphitheater that they have there. About 10,000 people were there, and I briefly got to address them and let them know not only how Pacific Justice Institute is here to help them and to serve them, but also, just to remind them that, God wants us not to be driven by fear, but by power, love, or discipline, a sound mind. And for us not to quiver, but to boldly go out there. And it was so encouraging to see all those people worshiping the Lord unapologetically. It was really encouraging. So I'm sort of pumped up when I go play somewhere like that, and all those believers are there, just on fire for Jesus. It just reminds me that the rapture hasn't happened, and I have not been left behind. So
there you go. Phew.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I don't think you will be, but it's always so encouraging, as you're saying, to just feel that positive energy. There's a lot of negativity happening in our world today and in our country, and so always just being with fellow believers and new believers too in that kind of environment sounds amazing. And
yeah.
I love that. Christian Woodstock. I think they should rebrand it, actually.
Yeah. I think Christian Woodstock it's easily just sort of spells it out real easily, real clearly. Of course, they didn't have some of the things that Woodstock had, like drugs and et cetera.
Yeah.
So it was a good, positive Woodstock,
good.
Christian Woodstock. all right. Now, speaking of some positive things that happened, let's talk about the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court's been really busy lately. I mean, so many decisions coming out in this section of time that they have been issuing decisions. Can I just ask you a question right off the
sure.
bat? Because I think a lot of people don't quite understand how the Supreme Court works. They're not considering cases, hearing cases, and making decisions 12 months out of the year. They have a schedule, right? They're working on a specific calendar.
Right. They get a nice summer break, just like the kids in school. But you know what? I think they deserve a break. It's very intensive. Their work is very grueling. They're often generally older anyway. So it's not like they're 21. They really do appreciate and need that kind of time off.
Yeah.
And some of them go out and do speaking engagements and things. But and then they sort of climax their cases. The biggest cases, the most controversial cases are the ones that come out in the final week.
Yes.
And at the very end. Mm-hmm. Some of the easy ones are not so controversial. They'll start churning those out, months beforehand. You'll start seeing those cases start popping out. But the big ones, the controversial ones, they'll wait till the last week, sometimes the last day of the session. Sometimes they'll have it released and they're already on their plane leaving or, back home. Mm. Because it's sometimes very, very controversial.
Right.
And they don't want to necessarily be at the Supreme Court building when some of these final decisions come out. One of the big controversial decisions that came out recently is dealing with presidential immunity.
Right. That was probably the biggest one and the most highly anticipated and hotly discussed, right?
Yes.
And so it was actually a surprise to some people, I'd say more than some people, that the decision was not 9-0. It was actually 6-3, because we're talking about something that has to do with how presidents have operated within their role as president of the United States and commander in chief for the entire length of the history of the United States up until, you know, current day. And so this has an insanely huge effect on the current president today, Joe Biden, former President Donald Trump, and his candidacy, his nomination to run again, what would happen if he's elected again, and then also all of these legal cases against him. So this is really complicated. There have been a lot of like histrionic comments coming out about it, Brad. So I have so many questions for you as a non-attorney, but maybe you can just kind of give us the basics of
sure.
what this ruling says.
Sure. So so the Trump folks were arguing total immunity. There should be absolute total immunity for the President of the United States while in office, period. The opposing side, the Biden side, basically, said, you know what? No, there should be no immunity. So a president should be able to be sued at any time while in office for anything he does at any time in office. Of course, if they get their way, we're looking at presidents who are going to be very hesitant to do anything for fear that they're going to be jumped on by their predecessor or the next person to take their place and end up behind bars. On the other hand, we don't want complete immunity, because then a president could have a special deal with China where he's getting millions of dollars paid under the table, embezzling money and lying about artwork. Oh, wait a minute.
That would never happen.
That
would be crazy. We would call it out immediately. There would be repercussions.
Yeah, well, if we had the right Department of Justice, we would. You're right. So those are two mm-hmm. extremes. Supreme Court did exactly what I thought they were going to do, what many other involved in jurisprudence thought they would do, and that is they said, look, whatever is under the scope of the official acts of the president, then there's immunity. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing things that are not within the official acts of the president, i.e. doing embezzlement, drug dealing, or things that are for your own self-benefit and does not involve anything about your serving as president of the United States, then you're not immune.
Sure.
And I think it's the perfect decision. Mm. I think that's what the Trump people thought they were really vying for to begin with. So where you shoot for the stars, but on the way down you settle for the moon. I think that's what they were really shooting for, because I think it's fair, and it's going to, in the end, end up very positively for Trump. Also, the decision made it very clear that the prosecutor, they have the burden. So Mr. Smith, he has the burden to show that what they're accusing the president of was not an official act of the president. They have the burden to prove that.
Sure.
I think that case is effectively done. The only two things remaining on it, dealing with voter fraud, and that's not there, dealing with the election. And I don't think that's going to survive. Those are the weakest things of the case.
Does this ruling affect that? Because if you're talking about the timeline of what happened during the 2020 election, I mean, Trump was still president. So January 6th happened while he was officially still president. But anything going back from that, or anything after, you know, January 21st, 2021, when Biden was installed, you know, you have this transition of power. So it was not a good day yesterday for Special Prosecutor Jack Smith. Do you think that anything now is going to come of this? Because what else popped up is that, you know, they have now officially disbarred Rudy Giuliani. And it seems like there are these other sort of fringe efforts to try to, again, categorize efforts during the 2020 election as interference, as illegal activity. But this ruling seems to kind of almost clarify and quantify what we've already been operating on, right? Aren't there checks and balances already that tell a president what the role is and where the guardrails are?
Yeah. First off, Giuliani, you mentioned Giuliani, so I just want to mention that was the New York Bar Association. Mm-hmm. If he had been in Midwestern states, Texas, Florida, he would have been disbarred. So this is just another example of the blatant tyranny in the state of New York. Mm. Not just with one justice here or Justice Bragg or whatever. This is dealing with even the governance of the state of the practice of law in the state of New York. Another warning sign for people who like to be able to trust in justice and laws. As far as what you mentioned, though, regarding keeping the boundaries, the guardrails, if you will, regarding immunity, that's exactly what the Supreme Court did. We've had presidential immunity assumed for quite some time. I mean, this has just sort of been presumed. It's never had to be actually brought and addressed like it has in this case, because we've never had such a lawfare occur requiring it to be brought and have to be addressed by the Supreme Court. But this is really good. That's a big victory. And then combined with their ruling dealing with the J6ers, where the Supreme Court basically said, look, obstruction of federal investigations, that's talking about documents. That was dealing with the Enron case. That's not dealing with peaceful protesters.
Sure.
Or a commander-in-chief encouraging Americans to peacefully and lawfully protest, which is exactly what Trump did. Yeah. I think the Supreme Court got this right as well. Once again, Jack Smith, he's going to have a hard time swimming back to shore on this one.
At PJI, we exist to serve everyone in need of counsel, representation, and defense of their religious liberties, parental rights, and the sanctity of life. We don't take cases based on how high profile they are. We are workhorses, not show horses. Keep current on PJI's work on all the legal challenges we face on a daily basis by signing up for our Legal Insider email newsletter at pji.org. Now, back to the Dacus Report.
Welcome back. Folks, if you like to keep up with our cases at PJI, it's real easy to do that. Just go to our website, pji.org, and you can sign up to get our free Legal Insider. Folks, we have 265 cases plus in active litigation all across the country. We do all our work without charge, defending religious freedom, parents' rights, the sanctity of human life. We're here to serve you, and we have great free resources, including one article entitled 12 Steps to Protect Your Children from Being Taken by CPS. And so we have so many great resources. Just go to our website, pji.org. Another way to do that is simply to text. Now, those who are into texting here, just text PJI to the number 71541. I remember this as a 71-year-old man having lunch with a 54-year-old woman as a one-year-old in the high chair. It works for me. 71541, and just text PJI to that number, and that'll also get you the information and our resources that let you have access to all of our resources without charge. 71541, text PJI to that number. All right, let's continue talking about some of the cases that are coming down, came down from the Supreme Court. Kyle, I'm so glad to have you on this program.
And so glad to be here, Brad.
So the Supreme Court ruled on a case that didn't get much fanfare, and yet it was huge. It's called the Chevron case. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the nickname for the case. Because decades ago, the Supreme Court, in a case involving Chevron, they ruled that, look, they said bureaucrats, they can do whatever they want so long as they have some reasonable justification with some law passed by Congress. So it was pretty much, it's very easy for them to engage in all kinds of radical, crazy regulations, especially environmental regulations, that would just be absurd and were clearly not the intent of Congress. Mm-hmm. So that's what was going on. And then if you got hit by an agency with some rule or regulation, you didn't have much protection because all the government had to do was say, well, we were just applying this statute over here and we thought this was reasonable, and the judges play, okay, well, if you thought it was reasonable, then all right, that's good enough.
So it went in front of the court to be reaffirmed, or was it being challenged?
Yeah, well, it was being challenged, that rule, with a different fact scenario.
Yes.
And this Supreme Court looked at it, and they said, this may have been around a long time, but this is flat out wrong. Because the bureaucrats, they only have authority pursuant to that which Congress specifically gives them authority to do via the passage of a law. And so they said, it's no longer just whatever the bureaucrat can justify by looking at a law. No. It's not their job to define the law and interpret the law. It's the court's job. So bureaucrats, if you're going to come up with a rule or regulation, you better be darn sure that it is right there and clearly justified explicitly by the law passed by Congress. Because if not, we, the courts, we're the ones who actually interpret the law. And if we don't agree with you, we're going to knock it out and tie your hands.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, we're so regulation heavy already, and it's just so easy to keep throwing them on. And we're literally drowning in these regulations. And so for the court to step in and again, narrow that for everyone, I think is a definite win. Absolutely.
And businesses across the country, companies, businesses, individuals, they now have the green light to say enough is enough. Right. This rule, this regulation has no real legitimacy based on law. We're going to sue. We're going to challenge it. We're going to challenge this. We're going to challenge that. It is now the counter-revolution against what all these bureaucrats and agencies were forcing upon us. It's fantastic. It's freedom. It's liberty. Yeah. It's respecting our three branches of government and no longer letting the bureaucrats create their fourth branch of government. This is fantastic. This
and
is a major game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. And also is an economy boost, right? Because the more we are regulated, the less we can actually produce. And we've been hindering these industries for so long. And so this kind of unshackles a little bit as well.
Yeah, no longer will businesses have to speculate. Like, golly gee, I don't know if this agency is going to somehow invalidate what we're doing.
Right.
Instead, companies, businesses, and families can just look at the law and say, what does the law say? Okay, we know this is what the law says. If the bureaucrats try to come against us with some other angle, we can go back to the law, go to court, and get their hands slapped and put it into place. So this is a fantastic victory. Way to go, Supreme Court. I remember back when I was in high school, I gave an oratory on the topic regulating regulation.
Sounds very Brad Dacus of you.
Yeah, it was. I got a $500 scholarship. I was happy.
Amazing. Good for you.
But it was so interesting because we're talking back in the late, I'm aging myself here, the late 70s. The late 70s, that's how long this has been an issue and a curse to the American people, the Chevron rule. And we've finally been set free, and people need to be very appreciative. By the way, this would not have happened had Trump not appointed those three justices of the Supreme Court.
Sure, yeah.
It would not have happened, and we would still be under the tyranny of the Chevron rule and the arbitrary pronouncements of the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he understands how to navigate this better than somebody who's a traditional lifelong politician like we have in office now. So that's a brilliant example of having someone leading our country and placing justices and other positions of leadership who get why these decisions are so good for the country as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there was another huge decision from the Supreme Court that I also don't think has received the proper coverage, like the presidential immunity issue has.
Right.
And that is dealing with the homeless. So a case was brought against Grants Pass, Oregon. It's a town in Oregon, relatively small community. And they said, you know what? Enough is enough. We're not going to let the homeless occupy our sidewalks, our public places. It's unhealthy. It's unsafe. It's not doing what we need to do, which is to protect the law-abiding people in this community from those who are deliberately violating the ordinances and occupying which property that doesn't belong to them. So they were sued for that, went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Cities have a right to make homeless shelters illegal, homeless tents, mm-hmm. Squatting,
encampments, right.
Illegal. Mm-hmm. And therefore, this has now liberated every single town in America, Kyle,
yes.
to be able to do what they want to do to enforce their local ordinances mm-hmm. and clean the streets, mm-hmm. clean the sidewalks, just get rid of those encampments and tell these people this is not allowed.
Yeah.
You need to find some alternative place to live. You want to go to a homeless shelter. You know, there's rescue missions. Every town has them mm-hmm. just about.
Yeah.
Ministries have them. You want to get your life together? Great. You don't? Then you'll be arrested. And if you're determined to be mentally unfit, we'll send you to a mental institution. Mm-hmm. If you're on drug addictions, you'll be convicted and or sent to receive the help that you need to get your life in order. As far as I'm concerned, it is so inhumane and uncaring to let the status quo continue.
Oh, 100%. 100%. We have taken people... Now we have to say people experiencing homelessness or the unsheltered, particularly here in California, is how we like to talk about them. And I sat for years on a continuum of care board and served in that capacity and learned a lot. There's so much misunderstanding about the homeless population. We've sort of subjugated them, right? Like, you don't have to follow the laws of society like everyone else does because you're choosing to sleep outside, which was the issue that was discussed at the Supreme Court. And the dissenters, right? I want to say this was also 6-3. I'm not sure. But the dissenters saying sleep is a human, you know, right that we should all be able to sleep. Sure, no one's trying to not allow anyone to go to sleep. The problem is that when homelessness becomes so illegal and starts to create abuses against people in society who are obeying the laws, it's not good for the homeless populations and it's not good for everyone else. And so we're just basically enacting the laws again and logic, right? Applying logic. And it is much more humane to have these people go through the system. The system's not perfect and it's not a perfect plan to jail all of them or to, you know, put all of them in the options that exist. Those need to be improved too. So I'll be the first to say we've got to step it up and do better on the back end. But this mm-hmm. absolutely should have happened years ago before these encampments got out of control. And the other thing I will say, Brad, about this is that a lot of people don't understand the crimes that are going on in these homeless encampments. Fires being started, drugs being taken, children being abused. I will tell you, this is happening. We don't want to acknowledge it. It's too mm-hmm. painful to think about, but it is certainly happening in a lot of these groups and encampments and should 100% be addressed and cleaned out. It's for the good of the public as a whole and for those people too.
Yeah. You have different groups of people who are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You have one group that are, they lost their job, lost everything.
Yeah.
They're in transition. Mm-hmm. Well, those people are usually homeless for less than a year. They're
right.
not permanently there.
Yeah.
And we have all kinds of resources, mm-hmm. homeless shelters and others, to get them back on their feet.
Yeah.
In downtown Los Angeles, the epicenter of so much homelessness, there's something called the Dream Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a former hospital, and it's been transformed into something to enable and empower individuals to get back on their feet. And also, another reason is because, once again, of drug abuse, drug addiction, alcohol abuse. These are individuals that can be put into programs, drug rehab programs, alcohol rehab programs, mm-hmm. Et cetera. Some are in have mental issues of depression,
yes,
or disorientation mm-hmm. Completely. They can be required to go and get treatment, and to be monitored for treatment.
Yeah.
If they don't want to comply with that, then they can be incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
But we as a society should not pay the price
right.
for individuals who refuse to get help, mm-hmm. refuse to get treatment. It's that important. You have some who are depressed.
Yeah.
You know, we have resources out there to provide them assistance. But right now, the status quo is they don't have to do anything. They can stay there, increase E. coli, bacterial mm-hmm. problems, and all kinds of other issues and crime. They can continue that with no one holding them accountable to address their issues and to receive help. We live in a very compassionate world. It's not like we're taking them and putting them into some kind of a concentration camp. Au contraire, we just don't want society to have to pay for their bad decisions. And by the way, we're going to provide them all the options and tools they need to have their issues addressed so they can get back on their feet. Thank you so much for being on the show, Kyle.
Thank you, Brad. And, happy to be here with you.
Keep up your great work. Once again, you're the host of the podcast, Politically Basic. Keep it up, and I look forward to next time you're on our show.
We would love the opportunity to continue to serve you. Just visit pji.org and click the Legal Insider button to sign up for our email newsletter. At PJI, we help individual employees, employers, business owners, pastors, students, citizens of every stripe through our practical resources, counsel, representation, and defense, all free of charge at PJI.org. PJI is an island of stability and assurance in our ever-churning sea of legal and societal chaos. We are here for you.
So folks, just remember, it's our God-given freedoms we're talking about. Now, let's choose to keep them. I'm Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. Let's continue the fight for your freedoms.